I got to tell you, the word that I'm hearing about you guys next year, April 6th through 9th, being at the Tulsa Soul Winning Workshop, man, that is fantastic news. And man, I just praise God. I also want to say right now, I have never stood in front of a crowd before. I've been preaching now over 25 years, 30 years, and had less of a clue of what's about to come out of my mouth. I mean it. I usually, tomorrow morning when I preach here at Park, the handout is done. People can fill in the blanks. The PowerPoint is loaded. Everything is alliteration. You know, something rhymes with something else. And Matt had that all down. And what did I tell you to do about 30 minutes ago? Get rid of it. And so that's usually not my style. But let me say this. I am never more convicted in all the places I speak than when I speak in front of this group. Because you guys, you guys are doing what you're talking about. It's not just lip service, but you guys are acting it out. And it is not only convicting to me at this level, it is personally convicting to me at a very deep level of what I need to be about. And so since I don't know what I'm going to be saying in these next few moments, what I really want to do right now is I want to pray. So if you have a Bible in your hands, whether it's iPhone, Android, iPad, we're going to pray desperately, Lord, give this ball-headed joker something to say. Because we need it. Because I also know, I don't know what I'm saying, and I want to know how many of you right now raise your hands if you're sleep deprived, all right? Okay, that's over half my crowd. And so if you've got a Bible in front of you, I want you to lay a hand on that Bible, and halfway through this prayer, I want you to move your hand from the Bible to your heart, and we're going to beg God to move His Word out of this mouth, out of this word into our hearts. So let's pray. Almighty God, have never felt, have never heard in my heart, Father, a more clear word from you today than when I cracked open the lesson I've been preparing for months. And about noon today, you said, that's not it. That's not it at all. And so, Father, as we talk about being a giant slayer, Lord, we give this to you. And, Father, there may not be a lot of polish in this lesson, but, Lord, I pray there's a lot of power and, Father, a lot of passion. And, Father, help me to step out of the way and let your word do what your word does, is never return void. And, Father, just pray you'd move powerfully, Lord. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I got to share with you guys part of why I believe that God has prepared me more than He's ever prepared me in the past to speak to this group. I've spoken to you guys at Harding here in Tulsa several times in the past. And my past preparation to speak to you guys has involved me just spending time in God's Word. And I really meant well. I was very sincere and I wanted to unpack a word from the Lord to you. The lesson that I had prepared tonight, I prepared several weeks ago. And Carol has been on me. Carol, I love you. She's so organized. She knows where she's going. Communicated half a year ago. Mitch, it's giant slayers. You're in and out. It's on Jesus. And so this past couple weeks, I got a little time to get that lesson together, break away for a week, be with my mom. My mom is struggling with cancer. She came off of her chemo so I could take this bucket list trip with her. But here's the catch. Right before I went on this trip with my mom, I started sharing the Word of God individually with a guy who doesn't know the Lord. And I want him so bad. And I know this is the world you live in. This is where y'all convict me. I want him so bad to know Jesus. And it's one thing to preach to 800 or 80 or 8 or 8,000, but what you guys do is you meet with people one-on-one. And you're not teachers, you're evangelists. You're sharing the light of the gospel, and it's so powerful. If our church needs anything today, that's what it needs. So I go on this trip, and I get back from the trip, and I link up with this guy again, and I'm like, man, I'm back from this vacation with my mom, and when can we meet? And of all times, he says to me, he says, Mitch, I want to meet with you at 11 o'clock on Saturday today. And so today, as I'm breaking bread with this guy, we're meeting in this restaurant. And if you ever wanted somebody to know Jesus so bad, you wanted to do two things at once. You wanted to share Jesus with them. You wanted to crack open the Word. But you wanted to, at the same time, pray over them. Have you ever felt that need? Where you're sharing Jesus with them and words are coming out of your mouth, but at the same time you're like, oh Lord God, be in this. I want them to know you. And so that's where I was today at noon. And so when I get back to the house and I look at my lesson, I'm like, this ain't it. Father, as we talk about people knowing you, and we're so desperate for that to happen, Father, give me a word. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 18. You guys are going to have to dig in. Again, no big alliteration, no fancy point one, point two, point three. I just want to unpack the story of the ultimate giant slayer, and his name is Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Hey, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder anybody. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." And this rich young man who had it all going, he's got the looks, he's got the power, he's got the wallet, he's got the bankroll. Life could not be going better for him. In fact, this guy, if you're a dad one day and you hear that this guy wants to date your daughter, a lot of times we play this guy out as a hardcore, you know, no, 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 no. Hey, if I hear first word, this guy wants to date my daughter, I'm doing a backflip. You're like, Mitch, you sound a little bit shallow here. Now, let's get this straight. This guy is rich, he is young, he is powerful, and check it out. He's coming to Jesus to ask about spiritual stuff. I hear from my daughter, hey, Dad, here's a guy I'm dating. He's got a bankroll, he's got a job. Oh, so glad he's got a job, you know. He's powerful, he's young. I'm thrilled that you're not dating somebody, you know, that's twice your age. And Dad, the most important thing, he's asking spiritual questions. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I mean, he's got the whole package. And so this guy is coming to Jesus and he's asking spiritual stuff. And he says to Jesus, "All these commandments you just brought up, I've kept them all since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And what has never happened in Scripture before is about to happen for the first time. Everyone enters Jesus' presence kind of like this, down. But man, when they leave, they're on cloud nine. Maybe you come having an okay day. Everyone leaves Jesus doing better. It's the one guy in Scripture who comes and he's doing okay. He's not down. He's having a great day. And for the one time in Scripture, it says when he heard this, he became very sad. Only guy who comes to Jesus, "How's your day going?" "Great." "You just met with Jesus?" "Yeah." "How's it going now?" "It's not going so good." And he leaves Jesus because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and he said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this, "Who can be saved then?" We're all rich in some ways is the implication. Jesus replied, boy, here comes the giant slayer stuff. What's impossible with men? Oh, it's impossible. Camels can't go through the eyes of needles. What's impossible with men is possible with God. And we hear this and we're going, okay, church talk. Where does it really take hold? Let me tell you something about the rich young ruler. He was rich. He's at this level of rich. You may know a guy like this. He's got the five-bedroom house with the game room. He don't have the two-car garage. He's got the three-car garage with the separate garage on the side. He doesn't live on a lot. He's living on about 20 acres. This ain't his only house. He's got the lake house. This rich young ruler has got it going on. And it's hard for a guy like this to go to heaven. It's so hard, in fact, it's impossible with men. But then Jesus winks and he goes, it's good news that you're not working on your own. Because with me, all things are possible. Turn the page in your Bibles. In fact, in your Bible, it may be on the same page. Luke chapter 19. We're about to encounter a guy who makes that first guy look like a pauper. We're about to encounter a guy now where he's not going, I don't have five bedrooms and a four-car garage. I don't live on 20 acres. I got five houses in five different nations. In fact, many scholars believe in reading Luke 19 and the story of Zacchaeus, save Solomon, we read about, and maybe giving Solomon a run for his money, the richest guy in the Bible. Isn't it funny how God, in his masterful job of writing his word, doesn't leave you hanging? He starts talking about what does it look like when it's impossible for other people to inherit the kingdom of God. The very next chapter he gets into it. And so let's read together. Jesus entered Jericho. Wow. How that Jewish crowd must have heard those three words and chills go through their body. We read it and we just think he's talking about setting up the story. You remember Jericho. You remember the book of Joshua. Jericho was the entrance to the land where giants lived. Jericho was the entrance to the land where God's people said, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. We look like grasshoppers in our eyes as well. These jokers in Canaan should not be dealt with. Giants are in the land. And Jesus is rolling right up to that doorstep. In fact, if you remember Jesus' name, Yeshua, it's the same name as Joshua. Just like Joshua rolled into Jericho, when no one else believed and Joshua said, my God's got this, Yeshua, Jesus, is rolling into Jericho and he's going, I got this. What's impossible with men is possible with God. And he rolls up to the place where giants live. I want to ask you real quick. I want you to get a face in your head. Who is the person that you want to share Jesus with so bad that sometimes you don't know whether you should talk or you should pray? Who is the person in your life that you want to be in heaven and know Christ so bad that it kills you on the inside? And right now, there may be one in this room going, man, you know, I don't know who that person is. I want you to begin to pray to God that that desire be placed in your heart. I praise God because of this group, that desire has been placed more in my heart. And the good news is if you get that desire in your heart, Jesus winks at you and he says, what used to be impossible because I'm involved is no longer impossible. And Jesus is rolling into that giant circumstance in your life that you want to have slayed. And he's rolling in there with you. And as we continue to read the story, we read how it plays out. Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. He doesn't get hung up. He is one that lays siege to the biggest desires of our heart, and it's nothing to him. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. You go through the whole Bible. If you can speak the original language or dissect it in Greek, that word chief is never found again in the Bible. In fact, archaeologists and all of the Greek manuscripts they found, have never found that word being used for chief. They've come to the conclusion that Zacchaeus is so rich that the only time this word ever shows up in the history of mankind is in this story. Luke invents a word to call Zacchaeus very wealthy. Do you ever use language like that when you meet someone who's like really rich, or you hear about Bill Gates or Warren Buffett? You know, you're like, man, they're a gazillionaire, all right? Well, what's your word for, anybody got a word like that for somebody who's like sick rich, okay? Stupid rich, what'd you say? Sick rich, stupid rich, stacked, okay? So if you had been Luke, you would have written in, Zacchaeus, sick, stupid, stacked, rich. There's people looking at Luke going, hey, Luke, where'd you get that word? I just made it up, man. Because this guy's not rich. He's stupid, stacked, sick, rich, gazillionaire. And archaeologists are like, oh, we've never found this word again. And Luke's going, that's because I made it up, dude. All right? That was not used for the rich young ruler. He was rich. Zacchaeus is the chief, head honcho, top of the pyramid scheme, wealthiest guy perhaps in all of Israel, save Herod. Or when Caesar shows up taking a tour of his, you know, Middle Eastern domain. So Zacchaeus is sick, stacked, stupid rich. He was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short guy, he could not because of the crowd. If you want to picture Zacchaeus, I think Danny DeVito, okay? Danny DeVito, you're like, what was he plump? Dude, he's rich, all right? He's probably packing it away. Think Italian suit, alligator shoes. I mean, this guy, he's not the best looking guy. He has the bald head probably working, which means he's a stud. But anyway, Zacchaeus, think Danny DeVito, okay? And he can't see over the crowd. You know the story. And so he wants to see Jesus. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, hey, Zacchaeus. Boy, I love that he calls him by name. God calls you by name as well. What I want you guys to begin to do in the story we're unpacking right now is do two things. I want you to ask yourself how this story is speaking to you, okay? Because some of us in this room have something we need to give up. Every one of us in this room, none of us have reached that saintly state yet where sin is a past experience. If Paul could say, I'm the chief of all sinners, then Mitch Wilburn could definitely say in confessional state, I still struggle with junk. So I want you to ask yourself a couple things as we continue to unpack this word. How is God calling you? And number two, how is God going to use this word to call others through you? So I want this to hit you first, and then after it rolls all the way through you, I want you to think about that face you've been picturing of how God's going to use you to call others to Him. And so Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Man, Zacchaeus is a genius. So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus doesn't welcome a religion. Zacchaeus doesn't welcome a creed. Zacchaeus doesn't welcome a train of thought. Zacchaeus doesn't welcome some mental ascent to some spiritual depth of knowledge. Zacchaeus says, I welcome you, Jesus. It's not Zacchaeus' dad who welcomes him. Some of y'all need to remember this. My parents are of this religion. My grandparents are of this religion. We are of this faith. It's not about what your parents did. It's not about the church your grandparents went to. It's not about what directory or phone directory that your name shows up on at some church every Easter or every Christmas. Zacchaeus did it for himself. Each of us must look at the Lord and not welcome a creed, not welcome some belief, not some mental assent. Zacchaeus gets it right when he obeys. He comes down out of that place. Where is God calling you to come down from? What bastion are you living in that God says, I want you near me? Zacchaeus, come down. And immediately you leave that which is between you and Jesus, and you come down and you welcome Him. Not someone else in your distant past, but you welcome Him. And you welcome Him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, ah, this Jesus guy has gone in the guest to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. We see in the difference here? Let's compare them. Let's put them together. First, rich man. This is a trip. Some of y'all need to remember this for those who think they're self-righteous and doing okay on their own. First, rich man. Jesus talking to him. Hey, rich young ruler, how you doing? Let's say for granted he's actually telling the truth, which is hard for me to believe. Hey, Jesus, I'm doing good, man. I want to have this spiritual conversation with you. I want to know what I've got to do to inherit eternal life. Well, you know what the commandments... I've done it all, man. Honor my father and mother. Murder, I haven't knocked anybody off lately. Never have. I've kept all these commands. Let's say he's the most righteous guy. If he's done that, he is actually the most righteous guy who has ever lived. And where is he headed? He is about a sentence away from walking away from Jesus like this. Man, really? Everything? He walks away sad. Okay, let's counter that to Zacchaeus. Hey, Zacchaeus, how are you compared to that guy? I steal from people. I rob from people. Single mamas with babies, their money is mine. That's all I do. Have you kind of gotten wealthy at it? I'm sick, stupid, stacked wealthy at it. You know? I'm sick rich. Did you ever get to a level where you think you'd stop? Nothing has stopped me. You think I'm rolling harder this way. Okay, so counter him. Most righteous guy ever leaves sad. A guy who has actually caused some people to die. You've got some mothers watching their children waste away in their arms because Zacchaeus has literally stolen the food out of their mouth. Now here comes the contrast. It's a trip. One guy did everything right. Man, this is hard. Who can be saved? Zacchaeus, as far as we know, he's been about murdering people by putting poverty upon them. So if that guy leaves kicking rocks looking sad, Zacchaeus should leave like this. What did it say? Lord! Look, Lord, look! If I robbed anybody, I'm giving it back. And in fact, if I've stolen from anyone, No. Four times I'm going to pay them back. What does Jesus do then? First guy, it's hard. Zacchaeus, Jesus stands up. Today, can you imagine the biggest smile on Jesus' face you've ever pictured? Okay, go some more and you're getting close. Jesus, today salvation has come to this home. And that's when I stand up and I go, oh Lord, he did everything right. And you say, it's impossible. This guy is socially corrupt at the grandest level. He's never done anything right. But you say to him, salvation comes. Okay, so what's the difference? Okay, crack open your Bibles, because I don't want you to take what Mitch says is important. We want to find the theme of the story of Zacchaeus. I'm going to read the story again. And every once in a while when you're reading the Bible, a word shows up. Once. It shows up twice. It shows up three times. And that's the Bible's way of letting you know this is the theme of the passage. We're not going to find this one word show up once or twice or three times. It's going to show up eight times in less than a dozen verses. And so here's the difference between Zacchaeus, a rich ruler, and another rich ruler. And I'll kind of do my hand like this and say it loud, so you hang with me. Jesus, the giant slayer, was going into the place where the giants lived, where no one could ever reach a heart like Zacchaeus's. And as he was just passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was stupid, sick, stacked tax collector, and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not see because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he saw. He looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw. All the people were seeing this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "See now, Lord. Look, Lord. Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him in the presence of all, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek, to see, and save what was lost." I pray that as we leave here today, a couple of things will begin to happen right here from the Word of God. I pray you would begin to see people as Jesus sees people. The worst possible person that could ever come to know Jesus. Oh, there's no hope for them. Jesus ain't done yet. And that's not the way He rolls. Jesus is never done. Jesus sees the Zacchaeuses of this world. He sees the prostitutes. He sees the harlots. He sees the lepers. And He sees people. And He sees a way for them to come to know the Lord. Let us be people who begin to see others differently. I pray to God you begin to see opportunities that the Lord places before you, that you would be bolder than ever in sharing a word from the Lord. It was a couple years back. I'm out in California about to speak at a youth retreat. And as I'm out that way, I'm doing everything by the grace of God. I'm in the Word. I'm in the prayer. I'm taking care of myself physically. I'm spending time in quiet time. I go running just to be with the Lord in this beautiful area of San Francisco. And I get back, and I hear as I'm running. Now hear me out on this, because this is different for me. I, at that point in my life, was not into being convicted by the Lord in ways where He spoke me into movements and directions. To this day, I have never audibly heard the word of the Lord. When He wants to do that with me, Lord, go and give me the courage to hear your word. But I have heard him in my heart. I know you have too. You've heard him tell you to write the note. You've heard him say to go and apologize. You've heard him say to go and share faith. And I was running and I heard in my heart this phrase. It was real weird. There's no such thing as a bad move. I wasn't planning on moving. I didn't know anybody who was about to move. But I just heard that in my heart. There's no such thing as a bad move. In fact, it was so real to me. I said, you know, when I get back to the church, I'm going to get out a pen and I'm going to find some old membership card in that auditorium at the Redwood City Church of Christ, and I'm going to write down, there's no such thing as a bad move, and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, but I'm going to remember it. I get back to the church, write it down, I look across the way, and I see this U-Haul truck. I see a woman, a man, must be husband and wife, and they're moving stuff into that U-Haul truck. And they're not doing too well. I see some words being exchanged. And I sit there, and I'm pretty dense. I'm going, looks like they're moving. So I kind of go do my thing for a while. I come back, and their language is getting more intense. And about this time, that little thing in my pocket, there's no such thing as a bad move, I go, oh, no, Lord. No, 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 no. This is weird for me, Father. It's already been weird today. Never in my life have I had to write down something. And I look over there and I'm going, thankfully the Lord knows I'm a coward, and I begin to rationalize in my mind, I'm not from San Francisco. I'll never see these people again. They may think I'm crazy. That's okay. So I walk up on them, and they kind of freak out at first, like I'm there to rob them, all right? So I walk up on them, and now comes this next part where I'm going to go into full-blown insanity. I go, I'm from Oklahoma. Okay, already insane right there, okay? And the Lord wants me to tell you guys, I have never done this in my life, so it's kind of semi-jacked up. I go, the Lord wants me to tell you guys that there's no such thing as a bad move. I start to walk off. The woman, there's crying where you're kind of like, crying where you're kind of crying hard. And then there's this wail cry where you're like, aah! She goes wail cry and falls on the ground. And the husband's like looking at her, looking at me. And I'm like, dude, don't. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. And he's not coming at me. I can tell real quick it's not going to get violent. The story they unpacked to me is he felt called, sure enough from the Lord, to move across the country to Colorado to start a ministry. She had been asking the Lord for that same confirmation, had never received it, and for months had been giving him the blues. I can't believe we're moving. Blah, 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 blah. And now on this day where they're finally packing the U-Haul, this bald-headed fat guy walks up and goes, hey, the Lord says no such thing as a bad move. I'll check y'all later. All right? She gets up off the ground. This is what you do when you're a minister and don't know what to do. Let us pray. You know? So we hold hands. It's not a bad thing to do. So we pray. And I walk away and I never see him again. Now let me tell you something. Those moments for me are few and far between, and I wish they'd come more often. But what I want you to do right now is leave here tonight asking God to place in your heart the eyesight to see opportunities. The eyesight, and you're like, well, I wish I'd received that word. I'm pretty sure you're receiving that word already. In fact, God's already done you the favor of not putting it on the back of a membership card, but He's already got it for you right here. And He wants you to go and to speak into people's lives and to see them. And what really makes a difference is all about that heart beginning to see the Lord. Guys, if you would, let's grab a hand. Let's go to our Father in prayer. And I appreciate y'all so very much. Lord, we come here this evening, and we see people where life apparently at some level is working out for them. and they want to have spiritual conversations. They want to do this or that. And Father, it's not their time yet. I tend to believe that that first rich young ruler, because he left sad, he also left with some questions. He also left with some things that were not whole in him, and he continued to pursue you. But Father, with the second rich, stacked, stupid, sick, rich guy Zacchaeus, we know for sure that salvation came to his house. Father, we pray that we would begin to see others differently. Father, we pray that those that we communicate with and share a word with would begin to see differently. And Father, we want to give our whole lives to you, our mouths, our hearts, our shoulders, our hands. Father, may we be ambassadors for you. And Father, whatever giants live in the land, may we remember. And then Jesus went to the place where the giants live. And Father, you go with us, and you're just passing through. It's not a thing for you, Father. And Father, we pray that you would go with us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.